It is overtime here on The Fan. Lino Willingham rocking out with you as we take you up to 10 o'clock. Vic Tafer of The Athletic going to join us coming up in about 18 minutes or so. But I asked this question going to break at 1-800-636-1067. I remember when Bryce Harper and Robert Griffin III were here in town and John Wall was here in town. We were having that convo of like, man, look at all the stars we have in D.C. sports. In a matter of time, that is going to be the case once again. As A.J. DeBonta getting ready to come to D.C., we think, as the number one overall pick. He's got, you know, all NBA talent. It should be a guy that's a rookie of the year front runner in his initial season. James Wood is probably going to win National League MVP this year if he keeps this up. C.J. Abrams is arguably the best offensive shortstop in the game right now. I mean, the Nationals got some real legit pieces. We know what Jayden Daniels is when he's right, is a legitimate top 5 to 7 guy at the position. He's a superstar. Terry McLaurin's a top 10 guy at the wide receiver spot. Trey Young, when right, is a all-NBA caliber guard. Anthony Davis, when right, is a all-NBA caliber big man. The Great Eight's still here in town. Look at the damn star power we have here in town. The question is, though, 5 years from now, in the summer of 2031, who do you think will be the best athlete in 1DC sports? I am eager to see, man. I really am. 1-800-636-1067. I feel like I named a lot of dudes. We have to narrow this list down.
First name starts with an S. Last name starts with an S.
S and S. First name starts with an S. Last name starts with an S.
Little riddle for you.
Well, it's one that I haven't named, but her last name starts with a C. You talking about Sonia Citron?
Nah. This is a dude.
SS?
Yes, SS.
Am I forgetting someone that's like egregious here?
Oh yeah, he's big. He might be big time. He plays on the gridiron.
Oh, Sonny Styles.
There you go.
Okay, Sonny Styles. Yeah, like he's got to pee. Yes, damn me for not putting him in. Laramie Tunsil. So I'm sorry if you Commanders that I left off, because like Laramie Tunsil was the top three dude at his position. Sonny Styles could end up being the best linebacker in football. I'm sorry, Sonny Styles, for omitting him. I actually am embarrassed, Wes. Damn, thank you.
Yeah, it's all good.
But like,
I won't tell him.
Yeah, don't tell him. If we had to like narrow this list down, because we got to narrow it down. The top 5 dudes that we think in 2031. So I don't think Laramie Tunsil will be around in 2031. I don't think Terry McLaurin will be around in 2031. So we can eliminate those two. I don't think Alex Ovechkin going to be around in 2031. We can eliminate him. In 2031, the top 5 athletes in D.C. sports, I think it's going to be Trae Young will probably be around still. AD will be out for sure. I think it's going to be Trae Young. I think it's going to be A.J. DeBonta. I think it's going to be Alex Saar, Jayden Daniels, and James Wood.
So 3 basketball players.
3! Yes, 3. I think it'll be 3 Wizards. Because I think the Wizards, they're the most slept on team in town, bro. I think everyone's just used to us sucking for so bad, and people don't really understand the collection of talent that they've acquired here.
I think I'm going to put more money on Sonny than AJ. I mean, maybe
really?
Maybe we're not saying that because the talent at linebacker.
Maybe that's
the
question. Maybe that's the question,
elite.
Though, Wes. Maybe that's the question. Maybe the question is between those two, because I think they're super intriguing. Between those two, who's got the better shot of being the best athlete in D.C. sports in 5 years? It's a linebacker, though. So, like, what would Sonny have to do? Because DeBonta, a couple of highlight dunks and clutch shots, and we're going to be geeking over
AJ
DeBonta.
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
the same
so
thing
many
with
Sonny,
too, though. The same thing with Sonny, too, though. The first forced fumble from Sonny Styles, the first pick, Wes, is going to hit like cracking eggs.
I know,
Are
bro.
You kidding?
I mean, the amount he has developed, he, you know, I've been able to watch in the last 4 years, he has developed a crazy amount since Caleb Downs took his position at safety. If he keeps growing,
I mean, dude,
he's played 2 years at that position. Yeah. He could have, he was a projected third rounder after Ohio State won the national championship, and all of a sudden he's the seventh pick in the draft.
Because the dude, he's a freak. He's straight out of Central Casting.
I mean, Luke Kuechly kind of a good comparison with those two.
That's fat because Kuechly could run his ass athletic. Off. Yeah, we don't bring up Luke. His career, it sucks how short his career got cut because of the concussion stuff. But Luke Kuechly was a dog, dude. Like, that's a hell of a pull. I don't know, man. I feel like it's still going to be Jaden. I feel like it'll be Jaden Daniels. Like, 5 years from now, if it's not Jaden Daniels, we actually got a problem, is what I would say. If it's not Jaden Daniels, I would be more upset, more frustrated in terms of the question that we asked. Who's the next big thing in DC sports? Who will be the best athlete in DC sports in the year 2031? If it's not Jaden Daniels, and I had to really be, you know, injected with truth serum, gun to my head, second best dude in 2031 in DC sports, I'd probably go James Wood. But see, I think the conversation for number one is closer than maybe people realize, because I don't know if the average DC sports fan understands just how good James Wood is relative to his peers in Major League Baseball. He's got a legitimate shot to win National League MVP this year. Is he better than Jaden Daniels?
I mean, no. That's tough.
That's tough, dude.
If James Wood, here's the thing. He was so bad at the start of the year.
Yes.
James Wood struck out about 55% of the time the year.
Yeah, he was ass.
I mean, to the point where I said, just put him to sixth spot. I mean, he is terrible. I mean, he strikes out to start the game every single. I don't know. If Jaden Daniels has an 85% of what he did his rookie year, which, I mean, it's rookie magic. It happens. We see it all the time.
Yeah.
Then I would put Jaden Daniels before Wood, but I don't know if I'm going to put JD5 at number one right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Because of last year. I hear that.
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. I mean, he was bad because even when he was in games, he struggled. And maybe there were some injury issues, but it doesn't matter. You're on the field, and he couldn't get it done.
He had to go. 1-800-636-1067 is the number. We'll take a spin around the National Football League next here on The Fan. Welcome back. This is The Fan. Linnell Willingham rocking out with you as we take you up to 10 o'clock. Can we peek in? Let me check in on the Stanley Cup Finals. Game 5 from Carolina. Knotted up at one apiece. Jordan Staal lit the lamp for the Hurricanes. As you remember, he had 2 goals in Game 4, including the game winner. Still tied at one apiece. 17:41 left to go in the second period in Game 5 of the Stanley Cup Finals. Right now, though, I want to go around the National Football League before we bring our guy Vic Tafer on of The Athletic. Let's do that. Let's go around the National Football League, and we will start. Let's start in Minnesota with the Vikings, because I think their quarterback competition is the most fascinating one this offseason. They have a new quarterback in Kyler Murray. He was asked the toughest part about adjusting to this new Minnesota Vikings offense under Kevin O'Connell.
What you get prepared to hear offensively?
I think the toughest part is, again, I was there for 7 years. I know I had 2 different, offensive systems, but at the same time, you're getting all those reps. You know, now having to split reps, it's me already being behind, not getting the amount of reps that, you know, you would typically want a guy to get learning an offense. That's probably the toughest part, you know, just, again, going back to the past, being in control of everything, understanding what we were already doing because I was comfortable within the system. Now coming into the new system, learning on the fly, trying to play fast, efficient, and let it loose while learning is pretty, you know, that's the toughest part.
That answer staggering to me. The toughest part is splitting reps, a.k.a. Kevin O'Connell. Hurry up and name me the starter. Kyler also had this to say about the quarterback competition in Minnesota. It's the one after the one you just played. There's only two Kyler cuts.
That whoever ends up as QB1 will be missing out on some reps, or is that just a necessary evil in the competition?
Yeah, you know, I don't necessarily know if, you know, it was more about, you know, hearing, you know, kind of the full quote. You know, I know what he was intending. It was very similar to conversations we've had privately and even as a group, you know, with me in the quarterback room a little bit more. I would say this, you know, this phase, this time of year, you know, based by the rules and also how we handle it, it is a foundation to build off of, and every rep obviously matters. But this time of year, the beauty of not going full speed on a lot of reps is you can get a lot out of watching other guys' reps as well. So I think that's taken place. I think there's been great learning that's taken place. But those guys both know we have a plan in place to make sure that the decision we make that is going to be about what's best for the Minnesota Vikings, and the timeline of that does involve making sure we get our starter ready to go. And, you know, we want to make sure by the time we play the Green Bay Packers that there's been ample time to, you know, have, you know, the best possible offense we can have to help our football team, and the quarterback's going to play a big role in that. So that was, you know, that's kind of where we're at right now as far as, like, the timeline goes. You know, I think to give an actual date would be not necessarily accurate from a portrayal of how we see it, but there is a timeline to make sure that we can allow the competition to continue and advance and really lay out a training camp that will allow us to do that.
Keep an eye on the Minnesota Vikings quarterback competition throughout the summer. I wasn't under the impression that this was a competition. I thought it was Kyler's job. Clearly, though, according to Kevin O'Connell, it is not. We'll go from one NFC North team to another. Caleb Williams was asked about Micah Parsons, calling him the best quarterback in football. Caleb wasn't really tripping off of it.
NFL top 100.
Just funny. You know, obviously, it's, you know, good jokes. Obviously, you know, we're football players and on opposite teams, so it's a little rivalry. But nothing taken to heart and things like that. He said he's fire and I'm ice, so see which one holds over.
You also, I think, hinted that you were the best player in football.
Yeah. It's cool.
Would you ever vote for Packers the best player?
Probably not, but that's on my side of how I do things. But, you know, obviously he's a phenomenal player. You worry about him every single snap, so
yeah, that was wasn't that weird? Like I don't know if Michael was joking when he said it. There's clearly a rivalry that spans over a half a century when it comes to the Packers and the Bears. Over a century, really, when it comes to the Packers and the Bears. So that, in hindsight, probably was a joke from Micah Parsons. I didn't look at it that way initially when I heard the soundbite, but Caleb Williams, I think, guys, should be an MVP candidate coming up here in 2026. Let's do this. We'll continue to go around the National Football League next when our pal Vic Tafer of The Athletic joins us. Right now, we go out to the guest hotline for the first time this show, where we find our pal Vic Tafer, who covers the National Football League for The Athletic. Vic, a lot of news coming out of your neck of the woods. You can give Vic a follow on the X app at Vic Tafer. A lot of news coming out of your neck of the woods. As a Commander fan, Vic, I'm just ready for the Niners to cut Brandon Ayuk. What did you make of his two social media posts here in the last 72 hours, sending shots at the Niners?
Well, the first one, I couldn't quite figure out what he was saying. But the second one, I got pretty clear. I guess he's calling the Niners stupid for paying them all that money, which I think is not quite argument you want to make if you're a player, right? You want people to pay you, not to question why they gave you so much money. So clearly he's frustrated. I know Commander fans want him to be there, but it may still be a while. I'm not sure the 49ers are in any kind of rush to let him go free.
Yeah, the situation is fascinating to me. I know you've covered the NFL for a while. Is there anything comparable to this in recent memory in terms of, you know, a player sacrificing that sort of money the way that Ayuk has here?
Yeah, I mean, people want to compare it to Antonio Brown. That was kind of a different kind of breakdown, I think. Kind of that was more of a mental break. I think Ayuk was weird where he just kind of stopped showing up, just kind of stopped coming to work, stopped rehabbing, didn't really communicate. I think the 49ers, you know, had to move on at some point, and they did. Now they're just like, you know what? Really, they'll have to cut you until September, so if a team wants you, they can trade the, you know, seventh-round pick for you. And otherwise, why would we help you out or help out a team that wants you? If they want you, they can pay a price. So I think it seems petty, but I also think it makes kind of sense because there's really no reason to help him out or help out the Commanders and do him a favor by cutting him if you don't have to.
Vic, the thing that has been, you know, fascinating to watch play out in the course of public opinion on social media is everybody is taking the side of the organization, not trying to justify any of Brandon Ayuk's actions, Vic, but does part of you think, well, why is he acting like this? What happened to this relationship throughout the course of those negotiations back in the summer of 24 that have us now at this spot?
That's a great question. I would love to ask him. I've tried to track him down. I've tried to his agent. I mean, everybody wants to know what was going on, what happened behind the scenes, if something happened, which kind of made him upset and kind of forced his line of action. But he hasn't talked. He's kind of been hard to pin down until the last couple of days on Instagram. So I think we don't really know his story. Maybe at some point, if he gets cut at some point and signs with the Commanders and has a press conference and he can say what happened in his mind or what triggered this. But, yeah, we all want to know, and he hasn't really been open for discussion so far.
Yeah, he's let San Francisco really control the narrative here. I'm glad that you pushed back on the Antonio Brown comparison. I think anybody making that comparison is a little out of touch. It's ludicrous. I mean, Antonio Brown was totally off of his rocker, committing crimes and harming folks. This is not the case when it comes to Brandon Ayuk. From your vantage point, Vic, is he a guy that was well-received in that Niners locker room? For folks, other folks that I talked to, it feels like ultimate team guys, teammates loved him, super competitive dude, popular within the San Fran locker room. Is this a situation where you think Brandon Ayuk's a bad apple, or is this a one, you know, individual isolated situation here?
It seems like it definitely is an isolated incident because teammates vouched for him to a point. Like you said, he was a popular guy. He played hard. He kept quiet for the most part, just kind of showed up and did his business, made some great catches, and kind of a guy you saw as a potential, you know, foundation piece for his team. And I'm sure his teammates agreed. It definitely kind of went off the rails. And then I think teammates at some point, when he stopped showing up, you know, they got like, hey, man, I thought, you know, we're in this together. Kind of what's cool. So I think definitely some of that is probably strained now, but way back when he was there, he was definitely a popular teammate, a guy who was seen as, you know, a young guy who would be in the middle of this team going forward.
Do you think there's, and this is us speculating here, Vic, because I'm trying to just think here, because he won't speak. He won't be very direct or clear as to what's bothered him. I think the negotiations got contentious. You know how it gets when it comes to negotiating a major pro sports deal. The team is basically telling you, and sometimes a very impolite way, as to why you're not deserving of the money. Ayuk's a different type of cat. You know his story. JUCO dude didn't have a lot growing up and has turned himself into a household name in this league and one of the better receivers in the sport. When it comes to the ACL rehab and them voiding the $27 million deal, or the $27 million in cash, do you think he stopped showing up because there was a disagreement as to how he was going to handle the rehab, Vic? I may sound like I'm reaching here, but I'm just trying to think on the fly with you out loud in terms of why he's moving this way.
Yeah, it definitely is weird because, like, yeah, at the beginning of last year in training camp, obviously he was still hurt, but he was there. He was on the sidelines, you know, playing catch. He was kind of getting better. You could see him making progress. There was one game, I think it was maybe the last preseason game, maybe it was the opener, where he actually was on the field pregame catching passes. Okay, he's actually, they're saying, you know, maybe week, who knows, you know, week seven, week eight, maybe it's possible, but it seems like he's on the right track. And then, you know, you don't always see a guy who's injured if you're, well, once the season starts, you kind of, he's in the background, like training with the trainers, you know, where you can't monitor what he's doing every day. And all of a sudden, you don't see him as much in the locker room, like, hey, what happened to you? And you, like, start to wonder what's going on, and they're not really talking about it, and turns out he hasn't been there. So just kind of, it was definitely, they were counting on him at some point. They thought, like, he was a guy who'd come in, you know, at some point halfway through the year, two-thirds of the way through, and be a key piece for a team that actually was making a push. You know, it showed last year they got pretty far despite the injury. So he was a guy they were counting on until he wasn't there. So I don't know exactly what happened in his mind or what triggered him to stop coming and showing up and returning phone calls. But these are all questions I'm dying to ask him. Hopefully someone will ask him at some point, and we'll get past all the Instagram, you know, deciphering and figuring out what the hell he's talking about, and know some real answers.
Vic, what do you think is next in this saga?
Well, it's weird because, you know, they had, you know, OTAs recently, and if he just showed up, I mean, it's really kind of in his fault, really, because if he just showed up and I'm like, hey, I'm here, give me a physical, I'll start training, and then, therefore you have the risk of injury and a settlement, and then, therefore at that point the 49ers would have cut him because they can't risk that money being on the books if he got hurt, you know, in rehab or whatever. So he kind of could easily have forced his exit if he showed up, but he didn't show up. And now we're, you know, there's no more access or appearances until training camp. So there's really, again, there's no rush to do anything. You don't have to. And I think he clearly wants to go to Commanders. I assume they want him. So the price is seventh-round pick. You know, it seems like not a big deal. But again, you know, Brock Purdy was a seventh-round pick. So there's some value there if you can get one instead of just cutting a guy for nothing.
This situation is unlike anything I've ever seen. I'm baffled that Ayuk won't advocate for himself. I don't get, like, does he have an agent at this point, Vic?
It's a great question. He technically does, but we've tried to talk to him. He hasn't been available. So there's rumors he may not have the agent anymore, but no one has said that, you know, verbatim. So another big mystery in this whole thing. And you mentioned how it's such an unusual thing because guys will usually walk away from $20 million. That's usually not something people do. So, I mean, it is a weird, unprecedented situation, and I think the 49ers are kind of like, you know, it is bizarre, and they'd love for this chapter to end at some point and have them, you know, not have these Instagram posts. And but at this point, there's no real reason for them to cut them until they have to.
Do you have any insight as to why they canceled this mandatory mini camp, Vic? And do you think it has?
I have theories, and my theories are that.
With Brandon.
No, that's a popular thing. I think Commander fans are pushing that narrative also. But to me, they're an older team, right? They had a lot of injuries last year. So far this year, everyone's healthy, knock on wood. Everyone showed up for all the voluntary stuff. So I think, you know, if you're Kyle Shanahan, like, you know, why push it? He's happy with what he's seen. Everyone seems to be in good shape on the same page. So the rookies still came in afterwards. But as far as the veteran guys showed up, give them a little reward. And again, that will come back later on because of the Australia trip later on. They'll lose some time, you know, in August and September. So you kind of get that time back now. So I just think it made sense in that regard. Like, you know what? Things are good. Everyone's healthy. Why push it? And the veteran team, I don't think 2 days of, you know, OTAs or a mini camp are going to make a huge difference for these guys who have been through so much together. So I think at this point, just why push your luck and just kind of, hey, I'll see you in end of July.
This is it's hard to keep up with, I would say, man. It's gotten me – I've started to look at it from a different lens over the past 24 hours, just hearing the way that folks are talking about Brandon Ayuk, calling him crazy, saying he's got CTE, saying there may be mental health issues here. What have you made of the public's reaction to this, and are you at all surprised that he is being painted the way that he is being painted and the Niners are kind of being absolved of blame here totally?
No, I'm not surprised. I mean, obviously, having social media, you can't really – people won't make whatever assumptions they want to make and whatever. And so, and the guy – you know, today's post was okay. I guess it kind of made some sense. But the first one about the belt and they're going to get the belt, and that's hard to figure out the hell he's talking about. So if you're fans, you're kind of like, hey, what, this guy's lost his mind. And again, who knows, but I think it's just so hard to judge or kind of really know what guys mean on Instagram posts. They're just obviously, he wanted to vent, and the first one wasn't as clear as this one. So, again, people are going to, you know, take the team's side and this kind of thing because the player clearly did something no one can really fathom. He walked away from a lot of money, which, you know, the regular Joe at home is going to be like, that guy's nuts. Yeah. He can't walk away from $20 million. So I get it. But, again, I don't take social media reactions or Twitter too seriously these days.
Senior NFL writer for The Athletic, Vic Tafer, joins us right now here on Westwood One Sports. Now, let's get into some real football items. We were talking about Kyler Murray versus J.J. McCarthy earlier. I don't know if you caught Kyler's comments after the OTA session today saying, hey, the biggest hurdle that I've had to overcome in learning this offense is not getting the reps. Are you surprised that this is being played out as a true quarterback competition in Minnesota, Vic?
I think you have to paint that way because you drafted McCarthy so high and they were so positive about what he brought in last year, all that game face stuff, like when they won a game, like, oh, that crazy face, he's so cool. But clearly he's not what they thought he was, and that's why they got Kyler Murray. So you can't just give Kyler Murray the job. You have to make him seem like you want it in competition, which he clearly will. I mean, there's no way he can't beat out J.J. McCarthy. So I think it's all just posturing at this point. And I don't know how good Kyler Murray is going to be, but clearly, he's definitely a better quarterback right now than J.J. McCarthy is.
For sure. We'll stick in the NFC. We'll move to the north, to the east. There was a report that A.J. Brown came to pick up the rest of his things and signed his autograph on the Eagles' wall and said, I was the best receiver to ever play here. What do you make of the Eagles post-A.J. Brown in this crowded NFC, man?
Yeah, it's fascinating because, I mean, he's clearly a top talent. So to get rid of him, clearly something was wrong. We all saw it over the last few years. I don't know what happened with him and Jalen Hurts, but clearly something happened. There was a falling out. They're not on the same page, and the offense, play calling also was bad. So they had to make a change. They can't get rid of Jalen Hurts. The coach ain't going to quit. So A.J. Brown's the guy that has to go. And, again, he's probably health-wise and body-wise not what he was a few years ago. Maybe there's some wear and tear. So I'm curious how that goes. But as far as the Eagles go, they had to make a change. They brought a lot of guys in. I think Smith will have a bigger role, which I think is good for him. The tight ends will be more involved. So it's hard to lose A.J. Brown, the talent that he is, but they had no choice. They had to move on and try something else.
Vic, when you talk to folks around the league about teams that have really knocked the offseason out of the park, how often – do the Browns come up, and what do folks around the league make of their quarterback competition? Todd Monken, before the start of OTA, said he wanted to name a starter by the end of the spring, announced today that battle is going to continue into training camp. What do you make of the job that Andrew Berry has done here this offseason? And then, two, how do you think this quarterback competition should play out?
Yeah, I agree. I think the Browns had a nice offseason. The draft picks, the moves. I think even the Myles Garrett trade, I mean, you can't really defend trading that kind of talent, but we got a guy back in verse who's, not as good, but clearly has a very high ceiling, is a great player already, and much younger, much cheaper, so under team control for a while longer. So that part, and you get a draft pick also back, that makes sense. So I like all their moves. I'm not sure about Todd Monken. I'm not sure about the quarterback situation. It's not a good deal if you can't name Deshaun Watson, the guy over, Shadur Sanders. That's not, to me, that's probably a little alarming that he can't beat out Shadur Sanders already. So I don't know where Deshaun Watson is these days. But
see, that's the thing, though, Vic. You say it's alarming. Why can't you don't think it could be a ringing endorsement of Sanders and his improvement?
I do not. I do not think that's the case. I could be wrong. Maybe I'm wrong before, but I just I would be surprised. But again, who knows? I mean, I think. Yeah, Deshaun Watson is a fascinating, obviously, case study. All that he's gone through the last years, off the field, on the field, and where he was once regarded as what I mean, they called him Michael Jordan. That was the comparison at one point. Yeah. So it's a little. We'll see what happens, but I have to imagine at some point he'll beat out Shadur Sanders, and we'll see what he has left.
Vic, I'm gonna be straightforward with this, and I know it's probably murky waters for you because this was. Yeah, your colleague. Do you think Mike Vrabel is the head coach of the Patriots and on the sidelines in week one, or could you see a scenario in which he potentially steps down as a result of more things that could potentially come out with that situation?
Yeah, I think he'll be the coach.
Gotcha. Vic Tafer joins us at The Athletic here on Westwood One Sports Night. I have to be selfish and ask you about my beloved Washington Commanders, Vic. I was out there today at OTAs, and you know, no Terry McLaurin, no Antonio Williams on the field today, but Jayden Daniels looks to be in full command. Any shot of them bouncing back to the upper echelon of the NFC after a strong offseason here?
I guess. I mean, I love Terry McLaurin. He's one of my, I think he's most underrated players in the league. So I think that's, and you know, Jayden Daniels, obviously, he's probably more the player he was year one than he was last year. And again, it comes back to the guy we talked about for 10 minutes. I mean, if Ayuk is even a shadow of himself and he shows up and he, because his buddy's there, Jayden Daniels, maybe he's back to what he was. But now he's got a pretty good offense all of a sudden. So I think, I guess they're waiting for him. That seems to be an indication they're kind of waiting on him. I don't know if they can bring back Deebo Samuel still, but yeah, definitely some talent there. I think Jayden Daniels is definitely one of the top guys in the league. So that's all you really need to have a chance to make the playoffs as a top quarterback.
As we get ready to break for the summer here, as teams are going to wrap up their mandatory mini camps within the next week or so, is there a team that's kind of flying under the radar that you think is going to be a lot better than, you know, the national media is giving them credit for?
It's a good question. For some reason, this is going to sound ridiculous, but I think the Cardinals are actually not terrible.
What?
I know the division's I'm reaching for you.
I did not expect. I mean, there's so many other teams I thought you would name, but the Cardinals, brother?
Yeah, no, I'm going for the shock. It's 2 in the morning. I'm going for the shock, brother. I got to make sure people are still awake. So
for sure, right?
Yeah. The Cardinals' defense is pretty good. I think the guys, yes, you know, like the draft picks. I mean, Jacoby Brissett holding out is a weird deal, but again, he's there, kind of, you realize they have nobody else. Why not try to get some more money out of it? And he wasn't terrible. I think he's right, functional, you know, a makeshift guy who can get you where you need to be until you get somebody else. So I think they got talent on defense and also on offense. So I think it's a really tough division, obviously. So most of their wins have to come outside of the NFC West, but I think they're actually on the right track for the first time in a long time.
That was an off-the-wall answer. My my AFC answer for that is the Titans. I have this weird inkling that Robert Saleh in year one, man, I don't know. Maybe I'm totally off my rocker. We'll see how Cam Ward is.
Yeah, my thing on Saleh is that I think, like, he was, you know, obviously the Niners last year, and he knew he's going to get another shot. And that was clearly, you know, going to be the case. At some point, he'll get another shot. And he always said, I'll wait for the right one. I'm in no rush. You know, I got a good thing here at the 49ers. I got all these guys on a defense. I get Bosa back next year and Warner back next year. It seemed like he was going to come back this season, and he wasn't going to rush it. And then all of a sudden, the Titans offered him the job, and he rushed it. I was like, I don't think that's the right. I would have been more patient. I would have waited for something better than the Titans. But, again, maybe I'm wrong.
Look, simply for the fact that who the hell wants to work for Amy Adams Strunk? For that reason alone, I probably would have waited. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, exactly. And maybe he loves the quarterback. I'm not as high on the quarterback maybe as other people are, so we'll see. But, to me, I would have waited another year and see if I got a better team, or a team that was definitely closer to being a playoff team, to come back and kind of make sure you have the right chance for your – well, it will be his last shot at being a head coach. So
probably,
I would have waited for something a little better.
Vic, I appreciate you as always, my friend, making some time for us here late night, man.
All right, bud. Take care.
All righty. Always love catching up with Vic Tafer of The Athletic, taking a spin around the National Football League. I genuinely thought he was trolling me with the Cardinals answer. Like, there's no team in the NFL that I'm probably less confident in than the Cardinals. Now, if they can get decent play out of Jacoby Brissett at quarterback, which I just doubt, they have offensive weapons. The Cardinals are dumb. Them drafting Jeremiah Love, I thought, was ridiculously stupid. No one wanted that job. Mike LaFleur got the job because his last name is LaFleur and no one else wanted it. You can't talk me into a scenario. I'm being honest. You can't talk me into a scenario in which that team, talking about the Cardinals, is relevant at all.
You're talking about this year?
Not at all.
You're talking about being relevant this year or in the next 3 years?
This year.
Oh, yeah. Now they're cooked.
I don't.
What do you think about his answer to you asking about Mike Vrabel that his one worder.
Yeah, he no-sold the hell out of it, didn't he? You could tell he wasn't interested in talking about
no, he was
his
not.
Colleague at The Athletic.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, I think Mike Vrabel's – well, I think I told you where I stand on Mike Vrabel, man. Mike Vrabel's not going to coach all – I don't know if he's the coach to start the season.
Really?
No, I don't.
I mean, there's enough time to come out. I mean, there's a good amount. Okay. I mean, if there's more that comes out, sure. If this is it, then, I mean, you still got a lot of time.
I think Mike Vrabel alluded to it the last time he spoke on the situation ahead of OTAs. Like, he was asked.
I mean, but he's posted on social media.
Do you foresee missing any more time? He says, I don't know what's going to happen. Like, so I thought that answer told it all, man. There are some stupid social media trends. Can you crack an egg with your bicep?
Yes.
No, you can't.
Yes, you can.
No, you can't.
Dude, it's really easy. It's like the trend
you're
where
you're literally built like a clothes hanger. Bro. You don't have biceps.
I do. I was a pitcher. I had to. Well, I threw 90.
You're also extremely hairy.
Okay. That didn't make me throw hard.
All right. Well, if you like it, I'd love it, I guess. That's going to do it for a Thursday night edition of Overtime.
I'm scrolling past
the video on X, and Francis Maui Noah is in the studio with Arvel Reese. So that's cool. Thank you to Vic Tafer. Thank you to Mitch Tischler. Thank you to Tatum.
Tatum.
Thank you
put
to
in a lot of work
Grant
today.
Paulson. Thank you to a couple of calls that we got from you all tonight. We appreciate you locking in with us. I appreciate you all keeping tabs with me the way that you do. In my new endeavor, Westwood One Sports Night, you can check me out weeknights, 11 p.m. to 3 a.m. Eastern Time, Monday through Wednesday, and then every Saturday and Sunday, 8 to 11. All of that usually found right here on The Fan. Appreciate you all being here. If you want to keep the conversation going on social media, very, very easy thing to do. It is at NELL_BTP. Be well.